Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Raised Up and Seated. This is part two in our series entitled New Creation Identity. In Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he wrote in chapter 2, verse 6, that we're raised up together and made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need to see ourselves as the new creations God has made us to be and appreciate how we're now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're different people now that we're born again, and we have a place in God with authority that we must learn to take advantage of in order to put the enemy in his place. We have been raised up and seated. I hope that you enjoy this message. I'd like to begin with prayer. Father God, we're thankful for the blessings that you've given to us, the blessings of your Son, the blessing of your Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for making it possible for us to be part of your family. Father, I am so grateful that I can call you my Father, and I'm so thankful for being part of the family. Father, this evening I pray that we gain a greater understanding of what that means, what it means to be sons of God, what it means to be part of your family. And we thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to help us see these things more clearly. We arrest the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, I'm thankful for all that we're going to receive this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. So we began last week with what I believe is going to be a series of messages, and I've entitled the series The New Creation Identity. And we began by talking about the death of the old man. That was last week's message. And I believe that this is one of the main issues that believers struggle with, and it's the issue of this death of the old man and how completely and totally that old person is put to death when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, and how nothing passes, spiritually speaking, across that divide from the old person that we used to be into this new person that we have become when we're born again. And as I said that right there, the first thing that comes to my mind is this teaching that a lot of people are receiving and giving out about generational curses. And once you become that born-again child of the living God, you can forget about that generational curse business because you're not of that lineage any longer. And as long as a person continues to identify with the old man that they used to be, they're going to live a defeated life because that old person, they died the death of the cross in Christ. There's nothing that passed over through that blood of Jesus into this new person that you've become. And so if you've been taught about these generational curses or anything like that and you believe that mess, I want to help you with that. I want you to understand that you're a different person. You might say, well, my outside man looks like the same person. Well, it didn't change. Your outside man didn't get born again. It was the real you, the man on the inside, because we are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in this physical body. This physical body didn't change. It was accounted as dead in Christ Jesus the moment that we made him the Lord of our life. But for all practical purposes, we have to have this body if we're going to stay in this atmosphere of the earth. So even though it's still alive, still breathing in all of heaven, it is accounted for as being dead. So the part of us that was born again was the spirit man, the person on the inside, the person that you can't see. And so with that new birth, there was a completely new person created within you. New person, brand new. And that's the point that I feel like really needs to be driven home, because I don't think we can say it enough. For years, denominations have emphasized that, you know, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. No, I was an old sinner, but I got saved by grace, and now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't think we can tell ourselves that enough, because we've had so much help believing that we were the same old lousy people that we used to be, the same old sinners we used to be. Well, that's just not the truth. The truth is that you died the death of the cross in Christ. Glory to God. That you're not the same person. Whether you feel like a new person or not, your feelings absolutely don't matter. What matters is what God's word says. What matters is that he made a way in Christ for us to end that old person, the existence of that old person once and for all, and be a new person created in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. Glory to God. Don't continue to identify with that old man. Don't continue to think of yourself in the light of that old person, because that old person's dead. Let him stay dead. You're a new creation, a new creature that never before existed until the moment that the life of God was breathed into you and a new spirit was formed. Hallelujah. You were born again. Born again. Just like what Jesus said in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And once you're born again, you're born a new creation that never before existed. Hallelujah. And what we're going to look at, I hope this evening, is about the nature that this new creation has. You don't have the same nature that you used to. You know, that nature that wanted to sin, that wanted to do all kind of horrible things, that didn't care about other people, that didn't care about, you know, what kind of lascivious lifestyle they lived. They were all about themselves. That's not the person that you are on the inside. You know, that person on the inside is a new creation. And that person on the inside doesn't want to just gratify the flesh any longer. That person on the inside, that spirit man, wants to take ascendancy over this whole being, spirit, soul, and body. Wants to take ascendancy over the soul and over the body. And it's time that we give our spirit man that place of prominence over this person that we are now. And stop allowing our emotions to rule us. Stop allowing our physical body to rule us. It doesn't have the right to do that. We've been delivered from death and sin and death. We've been delivered. We don't have that same old nature that we used to have. You know, that nature that didn't care if you hurt people, didn't care what kind of mess you were drinking and carousing and doing all kind of things. You're not that person anymore. You have the strength now to say no to sin and not to fall back into that time and time and time again. You have the victory over, but you have to walk in it. You have to put away the things of the flesh. You have to resist the enemy, and he will flee from you.
Well, Mark, how do you resist the enemy? If you resist doubt, you resist the enemy. If you resist fear, being afraid, you resist the enemy. Any of these things that you do, whether you're resisting him by not lying, whether you're resisting him by not being afraid, any of that that you do is resisting the enemy. You don't have to put up with him. You can tell him to go, and you can send him packing. And that's what we need to do, instead of allowing him to stay and torment us all the time. So let's look at a few verses here this evening. The Romans 6 is where we were teaching last week. Let's go back and just do some quick review. Beginning in verse 1 of Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What a silly question. I mean, I said it last week. The sarcasm here is rich. He's being sarcastic. No, you shouldn't continue in sin, particularly because you have a new nature. You don't have to continue in sin. If you sin now, it's because you choose to sin. You make a conscious decision to give in to your flesh. Your nature's not the same. You know, your nature before, when you were before you got born again, your nature was to sin. It was to do those wrong things, and you couldn't. You know, you didn't have the strength that you have now to say no. You didn't have the freedom to say no. But now you do. Now you have a nature that doesn't want to sin, that wants to do the things of God and follow God's plan for your life. Glory to God. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. I'm telling you, if the church can ever get a hold of that verse right there and realize the change that's taking place on the inside, how completely, totally different we are, different people than what we were before we made Jesus the Lord of our life. If we can ever see how complete that the end of one person and the beginning of another, how complete that has been on the inside of us, we won't walk defeated by the thoughts about being that old person anymore. We're free if only we believe this. If only we'll believe how free God has made us in Christ. Glory to God. If you have a newborn baby and you're holding that baby in your arms and you look down at that little baby, you don't see any history in that baby. That baby has no history here on earth. It's a newborn. It just came right out of the womb, and it has no history. And praise God, that's how we came into existence as children of God, just like that little baby. having no history whatsoever and before the time that we had made Jesus the Lord of our life. That was the ending of the old and the beginning of the new, and nothing crossed over from one to the other, spiritually speaking. It was a complete and total separation from that old man. Complete and total. Complete. Nothing carried over to this new man, the new man that we became in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. You're not that same old person. So stop kicking yourself for all of the mistakes that that old person made. That old person's dead and gone. And you are this new creation. And see, what the enemy likes to do is he likes to bring up all these horrible thoughts about the horrible person that you used to be. And he brings up those little movies and he just lets those things run in your mind. And if you don't stop him and start putting the Word of God inside of you, you know, you're just going to sit there and continue to be convinced that you're still that same old person that you used to be. See, that's what the enemy wants us to believe. He doesn't want you to believe that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you kidding me? He doesn't want you to believe that you're joint heirs with Christ Jesus, that you're a son of the living God. Glory. Just take a second. Thank you, Jesus. I am your son. You are my father. I am a child of the living God. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. We need to say that about a million times until we can finally believe it in our hearts. Believe that we are the person that God made us to be in Christ. I think at times it's just so hard to believe. It seems too good to be true that we could be members of God's family. As we start down that path, the enemy begins to bring those thoughts about the kind of ugly person that we used to be, and our minds start drifting down that path, and we lose sight. We lose sight of who Jesus has made us. When we became born again, we lose sight of the victory, the complete victory that we have through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we start thinking about, boy, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, look at, and you sit there and you go over and over and over in your mind, this event that you did before you came to Jesus, that event that you did, this sinful act, that sinful act. The next thing you know, you're living your life in the past. Your life is going by 100 miles an hour. You're heading into your future, but your attention is turned around on your past. You're so focused on that rotten person that you're missing your future. You're missing what God is wanting to take you into because you're so hung up on the past, so hung up on your mistakes, the mistakes that you made. Well, God wants you, your Heavenly Father wants you and me to once and for all just simply believe that we are the children of God, that Jesus came and died for us to be. That's who God wants. That's how God wants us to walk as his sons. He wants us, whether you're male or female, you are in the position of son because we're joint heirs with Christ and he's in the position of son. So that's what we have. Glory to God. So that takes care of Romans. Let's go back to John, the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Something that I want us to take a look at here. And it's in verse 12, I believe. Let's go backwards into verse 10. He was in the world. This is speaking about Jesus. And the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. He gave us the power to become the sons of God. We are God's children. We are his sons. Thank you, Jesus. This is who you are. You're not that old sinner person that you used to be. That person is dead. That person died the death of the cross. And see, maybe this will help to bring some additional clarity to the complete change that we experienced. Jesus is our prototype on being raised from the dead. He's our prototype on becoming sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, we were walking around this earth before Jesus died on that cross for us. We were walking around spiritually dead. There was spiritual death on the inside of us and no way to be delivered out of it. Until Jesus came and walked this earth. He came the sinless Lamb of God. He lived on this planet 33 and a half years and never, not once, not even close, did he ever sin. He never did. He walked sinless. But then when it came time for him to be offered up as a living sacrifice, as a sacrifice for us, we're living sacrifices. He died on that cross, a sacrifice for us. When it came time for him to do that, instead of him sinning, he became sin for us. Now, I want you to think about this. I want you to grab hold of this. As he hung on that cross, he had become sin for us who knew no sin. He had no sin in his life. But as he hung on that cross, he became sin and died the death of the cross. So now, think about this. He became sin for us. But when you see him risen from the dead, what happened to the sin? Where did it go? What about this new person that we now see, the first begotten from the dead? See, that's what Hebrews says. We'll just go over to Hebrews real quick. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to see this in your own Bible. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that, we'll start in, let's go down to verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? He's not talking about the birth of Jesus through Mary. He's talking about being begotten of God when he was in the belly of the earth, in hell, suffering on our behalf. See, look at these words one more time. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, in verse 3, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be unto thee a father, and he shall be unto me a son. This day have I begotten thee. This day. And he's not talking about the birth of Jesus through Mary. He's talking about the birth of the last man The second man, the last Adam, is how Paul wrote it in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. The second man, the last Adam, that where you've got Jesus dying on the cross, becoming sin for us who knew no sin, and then you see what the writer of Hebrews is talking about, the first begotten from the dead. Now, do you see Jesus as the first begotten from the dead, still carrying the sin that he became for us who knew no sin? Absolutely not. Why not? See, here's the point where religion, it has difficulty. Because they don't want to see the completion of Jesus on that cross and the payment for sin being made complete. And then you see Jesus, the first begotten from the dead, no evidence of sin at all, because it stopped the instant Jesus died on that cross. You don't see anything passing over to the first begotten from the dead. You don't see it. You see a different person raised from the dead, the first of this new creation being. Glory to God. He is our prototype. He showed us how this was going to work, how we were going to be raised from the dead. He showed us in him, in his own death, burial, and resurrection. He showed us how complete this change was going to be on the inside of us. Complete, total change. And yet, so often, I feel like we walk around asking ourselves if we feel saved or not, asking ourselves if we feel, Mark, do you feel like you're a son of God? No, I don't think so. See, stop asking yourself how you feel and tell it. You are, Mark, you are a son of the living God. You are a son, not the son. You are a son of the living God. One of the reasons why I'm so adamant about really hammering in on this point is because I still remember several years ago when God began to unfold this revelation to me, when he began to show me what it meant to be a son of the living God, and that this is the person that I have become. Whenever he began to show this and I began to teach about it, I'm telling you what, the devil did everything, threw everything but the kitchen sink at us, Debbie and I both. He wanted to destroy us. And here's why. It's because this message about being a completely different person, being born into the family of God, it is the most freeing message. It brings freedom. Whenever you believe on it, you can walk in freedom, and that's what's available to us. And that's why the enemy will camp right here. He sets up a big camp right here for anybody that has any inkling whatsoever that they're going to just step right into their place of being a son of God. I'm telling you, you're going to have a fight. The enemy's going to try to stop you any way he can, because he knows that if we ever grab hold of this truth, if we ever see ourselves the way our Father truly sees us, that the enemy has no chance. And it really boils down to us believing that we are the people that God says we are. It's amazing to me how simple God's made this. It is truly so simple, and yet we have in so many different ways complicated the simplicity of the gospel. We've complicated it by all of these superfluous things that we add on to it. And at the end of the day, the thing that really matters is, do you know Jesus? Is he the Lord of your life? Have you made that decision? Are you living for him? Have you committed your life to him? And if you have, then you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and you have been born again with a nature that is free from sin. He doesn't want to sin. That new nature wants to keep you from sinning. He doesn't want to. And so let's say that you get saved and you're out walking around and you do something that you know is not right. You know, you just know in your heart it's not right, but you do it anyway. And the next thing you know, you're being arrested on the inside by the Holy Ghost dealing with this new nature. And this new nature is dealing with this flesh, showing this flesh, no, we're not going to live this way anymore. That's wrong. That is wrong. We're not living that way. And then, but you have a choice to make whether or not you're going to follow the voice of the Spirit, whether you're going to follow the voice of the new nature and not go that direction, or are you going to go that way? And are you going to allow sin to dominate you? Are you going to let the enemy win in your life? And say no. Say no to the devil. Say no to your flesh. Say no to all that stuff, because you have a new nature that doesn't want to do that. This is only in your flesh that the struggle truly exists. You are a new person. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And as the sooner you can see that old person as being dead, the better off that you're going to be. The better off you're going to be walking in the kingdom of God. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Or excuse me, chapter 2. Chapter 2 of Ephesians. Paul gives the church at Ephesus the old person versus the new person. In this chapter right here, you're going to see the old person that you used to be, and you're going to see the new person that you are now. And I'm telling you, if you can just recognize that there was an end to that old person. There was an end, just as though there was an end to Jesus on that cross whence he became sin. There was an end there. And then there was that raising from the dead. And you know, when he was raised from the dead, that the sin wasn't there. Why was it not there? Because this is a new person, a new creation that you see in Jesus, the first begotten from the dead, according to Hebrews chapter 1. It's a new creation. And we too, when we're born again, are just as new as he was and is. Hallelujah. So let's go over here to Ephesians. I want to read quite a bit of this because I don't think anybody can say it any better than the Apostle Paul said it, or the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul. I think that he said it the best. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. I'm in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Wherein in time past you walked. See, now this is the old person he's describing here in chapter 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the children of disobedience. See, the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. You walked according to the enemy before you were born again. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. That conversation is the way we conducted our lives, how we lived. We all, every one of us, at some point experienced living according to the world system, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the end of verse 3, the children of wrath, even as others. Before you came to know Jesus, the person that you used to be, that person, whether you want to hear it or not, was a child of the devil. He had a nature of the devil. His nature is sin, and that was your nature. It was your parents had to do something. Well, they should have done something to correct you when you were still a child, when you did things that were wrong. They should have punished you. They should have made sure that you knew this is right and this is wrong. And see, the reason that they had to do that was because you were spiritually dead. You followed the course of this world, and they had to stop this. They had to... they couldn't allow you to continue going down that path, so they corrected you physically, and they put within you, they established a conscience within you to know this is right and this is wrong. If I do this, then I get punished. If I do this, then all is well with me. So I don't. Let's see. What am I gonna? Am I going to take this candy bar at the gas station and not pay for it? Am I going to do that? Am I not going to do it? Well, if I do it and I get caught, my parents are going to punish me. So I guess I won't do it. And see, that, before you were born again, was the only restraint that you had, was the fear of punishment. And that's why I cringe when I see some of these parents with these... you know, with these children that they refused to paddle, they refused to do anything as far as correcting them physically, because I don't know, they think it's going to just destroy this poor little baby. But I'll tell you, that's not what God's Word says. God's Word instructs us that we need to correct our children. So, and the reason for that is because these children are born spiritually dead, and so they have to have this conscience created within them, and it's done through reward and punishment through their parents. And so that person had that old nature. Well, once that person makes Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, there is a change in the nature. The nature changes, because that old man is gone, and now this new man has come into existence with a nature that does not want to go the wrong direction. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's just that simple. You don't have to sin today. If you sin, it's because you want to sin. Not because you have to, if in fact you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. So let's go back here. Ephesians, one more time, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. among whom also we all, think about this. It didn't say part. It didn't say some. It said all. We, among whom also we all had our conversation, our behavior, our way of living and doing things in times past, fulfilling the lust, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so that's the children of the devil, if you want to just get right down to it. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. See, positionally speaking, this is where you are right now today. Say, well, no, Mark, I'm sitting here in Knoxville, Tennessee, right here with you. I'm not seated in heavenly places. According to the record books of heaven, you are. Because you have identified yourself in Christ Jesus. You have accepted him as your representative of the new covenant. That's what you've done when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You have enabled him to become your covenant representative in this new covenant. You said, I see myself in you, Jesus. And that was all that was necessary. And as a result, you took your place in the covenant through Jesus. Hallelujah. And you were reborn as a child of God, and you have a new nature that was given to you by God. A new nature. Hallelujah. This new nature that we have doesn't want to sin, doesn't want to do questionable things. It doesn't want to do any of that mess. This new nature wants to do what God wants them to do. This new nature knows right and wrong and doesn't want to follow the wrong. This is what the new nature is all about. And we have received a new nature when we were born again. So let's go back here. Ephesians 2. Let's just start in verse 5 again. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Hallelujah. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is where you are. This is who you are. Hallelujah. This is who you are. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This isn't for the sweet by and by. It's for the sweet here and now. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy the benefits of this. It's yours to enjoy today. And if we're not enjoying it, if we're not taking advantage of it, then we tie God's hands. Let me read this. But God, who is rich in mercy, verse 4, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. This is a very familiar verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, this is what God wants of us now. This is what he expects, that we are going to walk as this new creation, hallelujah, with this new nature, his sons, that we're not looking to somebody else to do our spiritual work for us. It's not necessary. You see, each one of us that are born again hold the most revered position in the whole universe within Christ Jesus. We're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mean, we didn't earn it ourselves, but we're able to take advantage of it once we identify ourselves in Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't get a better deal than that. He's the one that suffered. He's the one that died. And we're the one that reaps all the benefit of it. Glory to God. That sounds like a deal to me. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's no difference now. That middle wall that has been broken down has joined every person breathing in this whole world. Who's born again has joined us all together in Christ Jesus. He is the head. We are the body. There's no difference now. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter anymore. And I know there's some people that, you know, they are very interested in what happens to the Jewish nations. And you know, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but quite honestly, in Christ Jesus, we are all one. We're all the same. That's what Paul is trying to say, that there is no difference anymore. See, when we focus on the differences, what we're doing is we're identifying with that person that we used to be before we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. That's who we were born into this world as, but now in Jesus we're all the same. We all hold the same place in the body of Christ, and that place is the position of sons. Hallelujah. We're sons of the living God. There's no difference. He doesn't look at this outside person and account it as anything different, as anything special. What counts is who we are on the inside, and we are new creations. If you could open us up and look at the person that's on the inside, we would all look the same. No difference. No difference. Hallelujah. And that's good news. Why is it good news, Mark? Because I don't have to do anything to try and earn something that somebody else has because they are favored above me. It's not the case. We're all equal in this. And we all have the same access to the same to everything that God has given to us. Nobody has something that somebody else doesn't have. You know, nobody is blessed more than somebody else because of their genetic, because of their genes, because of who they are in the natural. No, we all have equal. How did Paul say it in Romans? Let's look there in Romans 8. How did he say it? We're familiar with it. He said in Romans 8, he said that in verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children," this is the verse, "then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." See, this is the person that we are now. This is who we are. Not the person that we used to be. We're joint heirs, glory to God, with Christ Jesus. And it's so hard to believe that God would make it possible for us to be reborn into His family as sons of God. You know, it's one of those things that you can hear it. Your mind understands at least the concepts of the birthing process and the concepts of being a son. But we're talking about being a son of the living God. That's a big, big deal right there. That's something that takes a while for you to really start grabbing hold of and appreciating that I have been reborn. I'm not the same person I used to be. I am a child of the living God. And not only that, but I am a joint heir. Look at these words. Look at there. It's just almost too good to be true. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God." You're an heir of God. You're an heir of God. You think being an heir of the Rockefellers or an heir of the Vanderbilts, you think that would have been a big deal? Or of Steve Jobs, or of the guy from Microsoft, or any of these people that have a lot of money. You think that would be a big deal to be their heir? You know, if I could tell you, okay, you can be reborn as the son of, you pick the richest person that you can think of. You can be reborn into that family if you choose. Would you like that? Well, certainly I would. And all the old life would disappear. Your history up until this point would just simply be washed away. And the moment that you said, "I want to be part of this family," the family that you choose, the moment that you say that, you're a brand new person and you are a member of that family. And that person that used to be no longer exists. Is that a good deal? Oh, that's a great deal. I like that. I want that. Well, you have a better deal than that. Because it wasn't Steve Jobs. It wasn't the Vanderbilts or any of those people. It wasn't any of them. It's God. It's God who through the death, burial, and resurrection ended the person that you used to be, stopped that person's existence, and birthed in and through Jesus a new creation, that you have become the instant that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. You become this person who is an heir of God. You're an heir of God, whether you know it or not, whether you feel like it or not. You are heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. Glory. See, this is who you are, and it's not something that your mind is going to readily accept. It has to hear it over and over and over and over. You have to just inundate yourself with this truth. I am a son of God. God, you are my Father. You're my Father. I've been born again with a new nature. I've got the nature that you've given to me, not the nature from that first Adam, that fallen nature that wanted to follow sin, do all kind of sin. No, I've been born again. I have a new nature, and this nature only wants to do what's right. Hallelujah. And if I sin, it's because I chose to. Not because I had to, not because I couldn't resist it. I resist the devil now and he flees from me. Hallelujah. See, this is who we are. The old person is dead. This is the new person raised from the dead. Glory to God, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is who we are. And if we can reprogram the way we think and get rid of the religiosity that tries to make Christianity just simply about not sinning. You know, it's so much more than that. So much more than the sin issue. You're a child of God. You have His nature. Hallelujah. This is who you are. This is what you have. You're not the same old person that you used to be. Glory to God. So then what are we talking about? We're talking about our new creation identities. The new nature that we have. The fact that we're now sons of the living God. And heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. This is who we are. This is what we have. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let me check my notes here and make sure I've hit everything. Looks like I have for tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Meditate on these things on your own. Get your Bible out. Look up these verses that tells you that this is the person that you've become now that you're born again, now that you are a child of God. You're not trying to be that child. You are that child of God. You have this nature. You don't have to try and not sin anymore. You've got a nature that doesn't want to sin. Now it's time to put to death the deeds of the body. Not let it rule over you, but rule out of your reborn human spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Father, this new creation identity that we have in Christ, I am so thankful for it. I'm so thankful for the person, the people that you have made us to be in Jesus. I'm so thankful for the victory that we now have in Christ, that we don't have to be pulled around, led around by the nose, by the enemy. But Father, we have victory. We have the victory. We have the victory in Christ Jesus as children of the living God. We don't have to walk in bondage to sin. We're free of it, and we purpose in our heart to spread this good news everywhere that we go. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.